Yes, listen. Do you know that the most blessed person on earth is that Christ-like individual? Because you are given the highest privilege on planet earth. You are given a privilege that is beyond natural. You are given a privilege that even the devil, when he understands, when he looks at the privilege that you have, the devil quakes. The devil shivers in awe. The devil, that is why the Bible said that who is man that thou art mindful of him? This flesh, but yet God has attached so much importance to this creation of his. The Christ-like individual has been given the greatest opportunity, the greatest privilege on earth, to have communion with the creator of heaven and earth. Have you sat down to dissect the depth of who this God is? Sit down one day. Yes, you know the truth is you cannot get to the depth of who he is, but just decide to allow your brain explode, because the more you think of it, the more you will come to discover that trying to discover the depth of the person of who God is like you taking a bucket to an ocean, and your desire is that you want to empty that ocean into that bucket just with a teaspoon. That is what it means by trying to understand the depth of this being. Science has made us to understand that this God, when the Bible says he is fearful in praises, do you know what it means? He is fearful in praises. The earth we live in is one of the smallest planets in the galaxy. It's too small, but yet it's so vast and big. So imagine how big the galaxy is, and there is a creator, there is a God that created it. There's a God that created it. There was a time, I don't know how I misplaced that book. That book got lost, I guess, during demolition. I've been looking for that book. The writer took out time to begin to dissect the earth, the human body. The writer took out time to dissect the viruses, the known viruses. They are unknown viruses, so that has not been discovered though. He began to dissect the known viruses. The ones that are in the air, the ones that are in the soil, in the water, the ones that are even in your body. Some are meant to, you know, to enhance some things in your body. Some are dangerous to health. But all of these things are the creation of this great God. And that is the God you have been given the privilege to commune with. Somebody, can you clap your hands for this, our God? And I pray that somebody would really be blessed. You know, I was looking at a topic that came from a song. I will never be ungrateful to you, Lord. But while I was looking at that topic, during the vigil, one of our sisters sang a song. She came up with a special number. And that special number changed my sermon for today. And when I listened to her special number, I was inspired. And I decided to title this exhortation, Where Did My Hunger Go? And that is exactly the title of her song. I would love Sister Favour to sing that song for us. Listen with the ears of your spirit. And let the Lord minister to someone. And that is the title of my message. Where Did My Hunger Go?
Where did my hunger go? What happened to my thirst? Though I still speak in tongues and minister before men. Lord, yet my secret place is weary and dry. If you still hear my cry, please heal me right now. Where did my hunger go? What happened to my thirst? Though I still speak in tongues and minister before men, Lord, yet my secret place is weary and dry. If you still hear my cry, Lord, please heal me right now. Say,
never joke with this, the inner fuel, See, brothers and sisters, when it, when a man can no longer tell how it happened, what happened, there is something wrong somewhere.
Go. Let's see that song on the screen. Where did my hunger go? Sing it, join us to sing it.
Where did my hunger go? What happened to my thirst? Though I still speak in tongues and minister before men, Lord, yet my secret place is weary and dry. If you still
a song that goes straight to the heart of someone that is hungry for revival, someone that is hungry for true revival, somebody that can be sincere enough to know that your secret place is weary and dry. It's weary and dry. Of God, where did your hunger go? Where did my hunger go? Where? I believe that the song is the voice of the Lord to a child of God that has been perfected from all angle, and suddenly that fire that burned in your heart the day you met with the Lord is suddenly disappearing. You will come to agree with me, somebody. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Where
did my hunger go? What happened to my taste? No,
I still speak in tongues and minister before men.
Lord, yes,
my secret place is
if you still hear my cry,
if you still hear my cry,
heal me right now,
heal me right now.
When what happened to my thirst?
What happened to my taste?
Though I still speak in tongues,
I still do the things I do and
minister
before men.
Lord, yet my secret place is weary and dry. If you still hear my cry, please heal me right now.
Where did my hunger go?
Where did my
it is straight to the heart of a child of God that the Spirit of God has been talking to all this while, and he's saying, awake from your slumber, my child. He's still telling you again, there is time no longer, there is work to do. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. What have you been doing? Why are you weary? What are you doing with the gift he gave you? What are you doing when you first met Jesus? Where did my hunger go? You know the fire that used to burn inside of you. You know the fire that used to burn in your soul when you first met Jesus. When you first met him, you know that fire that used to burn in your being and your spirit when you first met Jesus. Where did that go? That hunger that could not be satisfied, where did it go? Where did it go? Heal our hearts, Lord. Heal our soul. Heal our being. Heal our being. Heal us, Jesus. Heal us. Heal us. Heal us. Heal us. Heal us. Heal us, Ancient of Days. Where did my hunger go? Where did my hunger go? What happened to my taste? Though I still speak in tongues and minister before men, Lord, yet my secret place is weary and dry. If you still hear me, please heal me. If you agree with me, it is designed naturally. Pastor preached a sermon. He titled The Gospel According to Nature. There was another sermon he preached. He titled The Gospel According to Science. you will come to agree with me that, hey, Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is awakening, kindling his fire in the spirit, in the hearts of his people. I keep getting distracted by that fire that is burning in the souls of the people that are listening to me even right now. I see that fire burning, that yearning, it is there, it was not lost. Something just arrested that fire. It is there, child of God. I see that fire burning inside of you. I see that fire burning. You will agree with me, child of God, that the human, naturally, we are designed. If I don't preach again, I think the Lord is prepared to awaken someone. I keep wanting to talk, but I keep getting caught up, distracted in the spirit. Listen, hear me clearly. Physical thing teach us spiritual things. The human body is designed to crave for food. We are wired in a way that we have to always get hungry. At first, I was thinking that you cannot compare physical hunger with spiritual hunger. But to an extent, they can be compared. You can compare them. Because no matter how you eat, it will be digested and you will come to an extent whereby you will still get hungry. The human body is designed to eat, get satisfied, and get hungry again. And you will continue to eat until this body expires on planet Earth. And likewise, also your soul. You are designed to get hungry spiritually. That is why, as a human being, the day you lose your appetite, you will be looking for something that will enhance the enzymes in your body that will generate hunger. Because it is abnormal for you not to get hungry. When you don't get hungry, you don't eat. When you don't eat, after some time, you will die. And that is how it is also spiritually. Where did your hunger go? How can you, a child of God, you get to an estate whereby you don't get hungry anymore? Where did your hunger go? It is the same thing spiritually, that you are designed to get hungry. The Bible made a statement in Matthew chapter 5. Is it Matthew 5, 5? Blessed are they that taste and hunger after righteousness. He said, for they will be filled. Is it 5, 6? The Bible said, blessed are they which do hunger and taste after righteousness. Say, for they will be filled. It is a principle. But there is something about spiritual hunger. That when you are hungry, you will crave for something. And when you are filled, your infilling will create a supernatural strength. It will produce a supernatural enzyme that will digest that which you have been filled with to pave way for you to get hungry again. Because you come to an estate where you can never get all of him. And I want us to take a little look. If you look at the exposition of the seven church ages, I want to, for the purpose of this exhortation, I want to borrow the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church in Ephesus. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2 from verse 1. I want to borrow it.
Where did your hunger go?
Happened to my thirst. Okay. No,
weary and dry, if you still hear my cry, please heal me right now.
Revelation chapter 2 from verse 1. I will borrow it. He said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. I want you to personalize this. He said, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven candlesticks. I know thy works. Listen, like I said, I want to borrow this statement so that somebody will see yourself in it. He know your works. He knows it though. And thy labor. That is why the Bible said, for the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Holy Ghost is a seal. It's the seal of God unto salvation. It is certain, it cannot be missed. You cannot play games with it. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Let he that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Let me continue with that scripture. He said, for I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. Listen, the Lord knows. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. He knows you are doing everything to serve him. He knows you love him. He knows you want to serve him. He knows your efforts. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and has found them liars. And when he's talking of apostles, see, somebody, you are seated here because you have come in contact with errors and you found truth and you understood that all of those things that were being dished out were rotten food on top of the table. All tables are full of vomit. He knows you have decided to follow revelation. Yes. He knows. Verse 2, Revelation chapter 2. Let's continue. We'll go up to verse 5. He is still trying to let you know that he knows you very well. And has borne, that you have endured, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Some of the things you are going through, is it not because you have decided to serve Jesus? If you have decided to cut corners, will you be going through them? But in all of these, he that saith the foundation, his foundation standeth sure. He also knows that your hunger is no more. He knows how you used to follow him when you knew him, when you accepted him, when you got a revelation of who he is, when you could not rest until you have decided to talk to someone, when that fire was burning on you, when you see a brother, you will not rest until that person gets better. When you see problems going on in the church, you will not rest until that thing is solved. He understood that when you come to your prayer table on your knees, you will be lost while you are connected to him. He knew. But he has suddenly seen that despite all of your labor and every other thing, something is missing. That hunger has died. And he knows that if he does not talk to you and you continue in that estate, you will die also, because you are wired not to stay without getting hungry. Let's see it. Let's continue with that scripture. Verse 3. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. Where did thy hunger go? Because thou hast left thy first love. Why did he have that thing? Why is it that he is telling you that? Because you have left your first love. Why did you leave your first love? The Bible made a statement. The reason is in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 verse 12. The Lord Jesus Christ was making a statement when he was asked what would be the sign of the end and all that. In verse 12, he made a statement. You have left your first love, because Jesus said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because you know the right thing to do and you have failed to do it. Is it that you are afraid to do it? Or maybe you don't have the strength anymore to do it. Or maybe you don't want trouble, or you don't want problem in your place of work. Where did that hunger go? And in verse 5, in Revelation chapter 12, chapter 2, he is calling on you, child of God. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. The Lord is waking you up. He has waited for you. He has spoken to you, child of God. You know it. He has given you reasons why you have to wake up from your slumber. Arise, thou sleeping giant. He has told you. He has made you that there is, know that there is something great inside of you, but you have refused to heed to his call. And he decided to say in verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen sincerely, and repent, and do the first works, or else there is a consequence. So even if you have received him, even if you are born of him, he said, I will come unto thee quickly. If he tarries to come, his second coming, he can come unto you as an individual, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place. Child of God, except thou repent. Where did my hunger go?
Speak in tongues and minister before men. Lord, yet my secret place is weary and dry. If you still hear my cry, please heal me right now. Where did my hunger go? What happened to my thirst? Though I still speak in tongues and minister before men, Lord, yet my secret place is weary and dry. If you still hear my cry,
listen, child of God, I want you to understand, those of us that come to this great King that you have been given the privilege to relate with, and you are playing games with him, he is telling you, my child, I am not an ordinary being. Do you know how great this God is? Have you not come to understand that his mighty hand is upon you? Why joke with the precious gift he has given you? Don't do that. The most dangerous thing that will happen to you is if there is no yearning for more of Jesus. If there is nothing still burning in your soul to do that which he wants you to do for him and in him. Where is that craving for holiness? Where is that thing inside of you? Why is it now? Before, I was telling my wife one time, when the Lord arrested me, before the enemy came and took me and caused me to live a very rugged life. But before that time, when God arrested me, when I was still 12 years, and I began to grow in him all through my secondary school, at that time in my family, if I am the only one at home, and probably somebody comes to look for my sister, my my sister will just own up. Because the last thing she can ever do is to tell me to go and tell them that I'm not at home. Why we are busy arguing, the person at the door will be hearing our voice. Because I'll be telling, now you want me to go and lie? He says, it's not lying now. I have a reason. I don't want to see that person. That person, I'm not going to lie. Problem. To be a problem, we'll be arguing in the house. If they force me, I will go out and say, she is inside though. She said I should come and tell you that you are not around. There are times we, right now, probably there are better wisdom. What happened to that time that there are some certain things you cannot do? Why are you justifying it now when you do it? Why do you even call some of them wisdom? Where is that craving for purity? There is a craving for purity that even when there is an atom of sin inside of you, your peace ceases completely. Where did that hunger go to? You love the Lord so much that each time you are praying, you appreciate Him. You see, Pastor, we always tell us that He worships God more than He ever asked Him for anything. Do you know that a heart that is burning with hunger for God, it is like a reflex action automatically. You see yourself worshiping Him more. Your soul is filled with so much goodness. My wife, we were discussing 2 days back. Was it 2 days back? She was telling me, say, honestly, there are too many distractions now. She was saying she remembers those days that she will not even get hungry. She see herself fasting and fasting. She said there is a realm, and I understood what she is saying because I know I have been there. Most of you, you've been there. There is a realm you will see yourself when you are sure inside of you. The Bible said the spirit, your spirit, the spirit of the Lord will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. It is not something that you'll be saying, maybe, God, do I have the Holy Ghost? You find yourself in a realm that each time you come out of it, you will not want to ever leave that realm. At times, you think you are floating. But of course, distraction can never allow you flow in that realm 24 hours. It is in that realm that the evangelist will be on fire. You don't need anybody to tell you the strategy on how to follow up people. No, no. There is a fire burning in your bones and in your soul, in your vein, in your brain. You see nothing else but that which the Lord wants you to see. She was saying, she remembered that time. Distractions a lot now. Then she was telling me, say, yesterday evening, we were still discussing before she went to bed. She said, do you know that I remember one time I was so much in some programs until I was in the house. I didn't know when I was seen through. I was looking at my neighbor's house through the wall. I didn't know I was seeing my neighbor, everything they were doing in the house through the wall. As in, the wall disappeared. Where did that hunger go, child of God? Where? What are the excuses you are giving? There are no excuses. None that you can give Him. And what is that hunger meant to achieve? That hunger is not meant for showmanship. It is meant for kingdom business. And that is why the Bible made a statement in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2. From verse 1 to 5.
Where did my hunger go? What happened to my taste? Though I still speak in tongues and minister before men, yet my secret place is weary and dry. If you still hear my cry, me right now.
First Peter chapter 2. Oh Jesus, I have a yearning in my spirit, not just for you but for me that is speaking. So where did your hunger go? Where Where did your own hunger go? You that is talking, where did your hunger go? Where? You know the zeal, you know how it was burning inside of your soul. Where did it go away? Talking to you, child of God, where did that hunger go? My yearning, my prayer, my desire is that after now, a child of God, you will pick up from where you stopped and you will go back to your first love, and that fire will be kindled to operate in him, to work for him, to live for him, to do his work, to use your gift. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1. Wherefore, how are you going to achieve this, child of God? Laying aside all malice, all, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, all evil speakings, what should happen? As newborn babes, desire the sincere. See, don't read it like this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. No, that is not it. Oh, there is a comma. Listen to it. He said, as newborn babes, you should desire the sincere milk of the word. That is what that scripture is saying. No, he's saying the same way newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. He said, that is how you do. That is what that scripture means. Because severally, I've seen us, we read it like this. As newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the word. He's saying, as newborn babes, you, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. When he said desire the sincere milk of the word, what is he trying to say? Is he trying to say that you should go now and begin to cram all the mysteries? Or, yes, as you read it, what he's trying to tell you, that as newborn babes desire, if newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, then it means there is an unsincere milk also of the word. The same way medical practitioners will advise breastfeeding mother to go on exclusive. That is the same way the Lord is saying you should go on exclusive to suck from the rest of the Old and the New Testament. Now, why would you do it? For nourishment. It means that the same way that child can be given, is it Friso cream? Or which other one? All those milk, Nan and Co. Those ones are not the sincere milk of the breast of the mother. Those ones are artificial. The nutrient that the breast milk will give that child, those artificial ones will not give that child. Oh, no matter how you do it, he can't. We just thank God that our children don't behave like goats and cow. Only God knows whether it's that milk that used to do this generation to behave like goat and cow. Only God knows. Because this generation, God, Jesus. This generation are milk, now goat milk and cow milk. Then they take now. Hallelujah. Let's read that scripture. Now, when he said desire the sincere milk of the milk, the word, so that you will grow thereby. It is so that there will be a fire. Listen, if you have truly caught a revelation of his word, you will keep getting hungry of him. Pastor made a statement. Pastor said there are two ways that one, a Christian, can be humble. You can only be humble. Humility is a very powerful tool. And that is why there is no child of God that is truly his child that God holds, that you will not enter into an estate of humility in one way or the other. Pastor said two ways. It's either God humbles you through problems if you refuse to be humble. Because if you are not humble, there are some things you cannot see. Or God humbles you or you become humble when you truly know who he is. There is nobody that truly catches a real revelation of who this God is that will be boasting over what is it you have that was not given to you.
when we came naked.
Now, so there is no how. What I'm saying that is, desire the sincere make of the word is when you catch a revelation of him, there must be a fire that will be ignited in you. There must be a hunger, because you will, this God will be too magnificent that you want to know him more. And when you suddenly discover that this God desires you to live a holy life, you will do everything to live it. You want to know him, to live like him. When you know that this God says that go ye into the world and preach the gospel, there will be a fire inside of you by the revelation that you have got to go and preach the gospel. When you know that this God has said that definitely you should make use of the gift that he has given you, there will be a fire inside of you that will not only desire to use the gift, but that fire will desire for the gift to be sharpened and be used for the benefit of the body of Christ, for edification and for correction. Where did my hunger go? What happened to my taste? Though I still speak in tongues
and minister
before men, Lord, yet my secret place is weary and dry. If you still hear my cry,
receive me right now.
Let's continue with that scripture. Let's continue with our scripture, verse 2. Second Peter. First Peter. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To be gracious means to be kind, to be good. And you can only be gracious to somebody you are bigger than. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is what? Is gracious. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as living stones, it's a living stone, are built up a spiritual house. Do you know who you are? Why did you allow that hunger to die? You are the exact replica of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made a living stone. The Bible says we are built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That chief cornerstone is the living stone of that spiritual building. Do you know who you are? Don't you know that the eyes of God are fixed and stationed on you and cannot be removed from you? Lie. Continue with that scripture, verse 5. That is whom you are. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices. The same thing that the Bible was saying in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that you present yourself holy, a living sacrifice. There was a time I tried to explain that. Let me continue with this scripture. Yeah, I beseech you, brethren, yes, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. You are not an ordinary being. And holy priesthood, do you know who you are? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. What kind of spiritual sacrifice? You can only offer spiritual sacrifice. Remember, the priests, the high priests, they were elected of God to offer those sacrifices according to their course when it is their time. It was given unto them. So what spiritual sacrifice is you now? It is not just those high priests now. It is us, because we have a high priest, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, he has made us priests to offer sacrifices. How do we offer those sacrifices? You can only offer those sacrifices according to the gifts he has given you. Because it is his gifts that places you, gives you your own course. Just like we have the course of Abia and Co, that the high priest will offer sacrifices. Your gifts positions you and gives you the opportunity to offer sacrifices. Those sacrifices can be offered by your services unto the Lord. Why are you not hungry again to offer services unto the Lord and unto the children of God and to the body of Christ? The high priest was ordained only unto the children of Israel. The high priest was responsible for them. When you are also a priest through the Lord Jesus Christ to offer holy and acceptable sacrifices to the body of Christ, you are part of the body. What sacrifice? Okay, evangelist, where did your hunger go? Why do you need people when they say come out here 8:30? Where did that hunger go? Why are you looking for the next person? Where is that hunger, that thing that used to push you? When you had no food to eat, there was a zeal burning inside of you to ensure that the lives of people, somebody received Jesus. Why is it now that you have food to eat, that you are supposed to be ignited the more, the hunger is dying? The Lord is talking to you, child of God. When you had no money and they call for offering, or there is a need in the house of God, that your one cup, you will run to the altar and drop it, and you will say, Lord, help me, give me this money. Please, Lord, give me this money. If you give me this money, I will give unto your service. You used to diligently give that your one cup. What happened to that hunger? Now that the Lord has blessed you, are you still giving that one cup? Or you say, I beg, these people save their own, don't too much. Haven't you got the revelation that you were not giving unto man? Where did that hunger go? That grace of God in your life, that gift of healing, that gift of prophecy, that gift of the word of knowledge, that intercessory gift, that we were asking God for it, and both those that did not ask, the Lord just gave it to you. And when it was burning, when you came to the Lord, there was this fire burning inside of you. You cannot wait to be in the church to exercise that gift. You were struggling to ensure. You are telling me before you leave the house, you have prayed all night, oh Jesus, Father, as I will be going to church today, use me. Ignite this gift. I want to be a blessing unto someone. Father, break yokes. Father, use me. And the moment you land like this, bah, the Lord will begin to use you to do those things. Where did that hunger go? You don't pray anymore. You don't desire. In fact, you are even too big now for people to come for their problem to be solved. You push it some and you choose some. There is no yearning for people's problem to be sincerely solved. When you pray for healing, you pray, you use your healing gift, and at the end, maybe at the end of 1 month, nobody blesses you, you start murmuring. But it was not so before. Where did your hunger go? Where did your hunger go, child of God? Those are the sacrifices the Lord is speaking of that you will offer unto him. Those are the sacrifices. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the sacrifices, child of God. Then you understand what the Bible was saying in Isaiah chapter 55. I'll read from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 55. I'll read from verse 1. Oh, this is the voice of the Lord unto someone. Oh, everyone that tasted, come, ye to the waters. Remember, Jesus is the source of living water. If that hunger has died down, the Lord is telling you, awaken that hunger. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. The Lord is ever willing to wake you up again. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfied not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul, it is your soul, delight itself in fatness. The more you get hungry, the more the Lord fills you, the more you grow in that grace, the more he will continue to use you, the more you will continue to grow, the more he will continue to use you for his children, for his church. Incline your ear and come unto me. The Lord is talking to you, child of God. Have you not tarried too long in that land of not getting hungry, of tastelessness, of dryness, of being weary? Just like that song said, your secret place is weary and dry. It is weary and dry. You know it. All the one that you come and people see you, you jump na photo. My wife was telling me something. She said there was an intercessory gift she has. Distraction don't stop her. And then she would tell me that I'm the one that brought the distraction. See, that time when she was single, distraction was not there now. That grace, she was saying something. Separately, she would tell me. Though while we got married, the Lord still ignited that grace, but not like before. She would say she would just be in the house. Maybe she's even washing plates. And then suddenly she's seeing herself, she's washing plates, but she's caught up in the realm, she's in a vision, and she is seeing a problem of someone, she's seeing the person, she's seeing the problem the person is supposed to enter, and she is seeing herself praying. She's not the one that wants to pray. She is seeing herself praying, but the last thing she knew was that she was washing plates. But she's in a realm, and she's now seeing something, and she's interceding for someone. And by the time she comes out of that realm, she's looking at her time, maybe 30 minutes, 20 minutes. And she discovers that she has finished washing the plate. She said it happened to her severally. It was a serious intercessory gift. Now she said each time she has that, she will go to church and she will look out for that person. See, most times when she comes to church, maybe on Friday, she had the thing on Wednesday. She will suddenly see that person will come to the altar to testify. Say, do you know that so and so and so thing happened? And this is how God delivered me. She will just go on her knees and begin to thank God. Not just her. You call, the, I have met brethren that have such rugged intercessory gifts. Some of them now, nowhere to be found. The grace is not there anymore. Where did that hunger go? You are the one the Lord is talking to. Wake up from your slumber. Wake up. Wake up, child of God. Wake up. Wake up. Let's continue in Isaiah chapter 55. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant. Did you hear that? The Lord is speaking to you. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What caused God to speak about the sure mercies of David? Let's see Psalm 42. The sure mercies of David. Psalm 42 verse 1. He said, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. There was something unique about David. as the heart panted after water brooks, so panted my soul after thee. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Let me allow somebody to read it by yourself. Write down that psalm and read it and meditate on it from verse 1 to the end. There are some things I would have loved to explain, but time is not on my side. Read it on your own. Then let's go back to Isaiah 55. Go to verse 6. Now that you have discovered that the Lord is calling unto you, child of God, that you have abandoned your first love, your place, your secret place of fire. This is what he's telling you. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is what? He is near. And look at what the Bible said. He said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return. Who is the wicked? You know, it is different from the one that they say, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Oh, who is the wicked that is to forsake his way when he comes in, you abandoning your place of hunger? Who is the unrighteous? He said, look at, let's put that scripture on the screen. Let the wicked person forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. What is that thing that is giving you reason not to operate the way you used to operate when you first came to him? Do you know that it is depriving you of something? When he said, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, you have to first of all understand what unrighteousness is. To understand what unrighteousness is, you have to know what righteousness is. And we know it, we already know it. It's been spoken of here time without number. When you say you are righteous, or the righteousness of God is you having a right standard with God. It is you operating with God at his pace. It is you walking with God. It is you operating with God now. Moving with him when he moves. So when he say, when the unrighteous should forsake his thoughts, you should align yourself to the will of God for now. And when he said, let the wicked forsake his way. Who is the wicked? You might be thinking it's one terrible, wicked, demonic agent of darkness. The Lord is talking to his children. He's talking to his children. Look at Matthew chapter 25. I will show you, let me give you an example of who a wicked is. Who a wicked person in the eyes of the Lord is. Matthew chapter 25 from verse 24. Let me not read from the beginning, but this is a story of those that God gave talents. And the only thing that will make you not to use your talent is when there is no more hunger for more of him. When hunger dies, you cannot use your talent and you will be like this man. When he gave them talents, look at one of them, the person he gave one talent. Then he, which have received one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown. And remember, the Bible was making a statement in John chapter 15. He said, I am the vine, my father is the husbandman. Any tree that does not bear fruit, what will happen to it? It will cut it. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. That this is your talent. This is the thing you gave me. He said he was afraid. What is making you afraid? Child of God, what is that thing that is making you afraid? We live in a time, even here right now, that when somebody discovers something that is going wrong, instead of you to correct it, you say, I know one problem. Oh, I know one to I beg for you. I know one. So why did the Lord make you to discover that problem? You see something going wrong and you are saying, make it no be saying, amigo, go report now. May no be saying, amigo, come out. Where is the Phinehas anointing? Don't you know that you are accountable to no human being, but you are accountable to only God, the creator of heaven and earth? Well, maybe because you know that if you correct, they will fight you. Your own should be that what I corrected, is it true? Is God happy with me? God placed a law that you should not kill. It was a law. If you kill, they will kill you in Israel. But Phinehas used javelin to stab two people at once. He committed murder. But instead of the law of the Lord to rest upon him that he will die, what happened? The Lord entered an everlasting covenant with him. What is making you afraid? That man, he said, I was afraid. What has stopped you from going for evangelism? That you were burning on fire. Intercessor, you that used to be a rugged intercessor, and suddenly maybe you feel that something happened, you stopped. Were you truly an intercessor? Where did you, what killed that anger, that fire? In your prayer group, you know that you are always the first to come and ensure things are okay. What killed that zeal? You cannot pass somebody in your compound without preaching the word of God. What killed that hunger? You were burning with fire for Jesus. You, anywhere you go, you were ready to declare, to showcase the power of the... Listen to me, child of God. The days are short. There is too much power at the disposal of God. And the Lord is looking for a hungry soul to feel, because God is eager to manifest his greatness on earth. Listen to me. There is too much power at the disposal of this great eternal spirit, this great being, this great I am that I am. Too much power at his disposal. The world is yet to experience your awakening. The Lord is looking for a soul that is hungry for revival. The Lord is looking for a heart that is hungry to make lives change, so that he can feel them. And look at what the Lord said to that servant, so that you will understand who a wicked servant is. Look at what he said. Matthew 25 verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou what? Repeat it. Say it louder if you can see it. Thou wicked and slothful. He added the word slothful. Do you know what brings slothfulness? It is lack of hunger. Physically, when you can be slothful when there is no food, where there is no strength, why are you spiritually slothful? That is the people he was calling wicked. That wicked and slothful servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sow not and gather where... That is it. Read the story for yourself. I just wanted you to understand who a wicked servant is. Go back to Isaiah 55. As I round up. Verse 6. I was reading verse 6 before I digressed. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. The reason is, when you come to him, when you forsake your ways and you present yourself for him to fill you, the reason is because my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. I'm just rushing it. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Do you know where the word will go to? It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. The word is sent unto you. There's a scripture that said, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. The Lord is eager to fill they that are hungry. The Lord is looking for they he can raise and make them giants. The Lord is looking for people that he will use to make the kingdom of darkness know that I have a representative. The Lord is looking for men that we call all out. Lord is looking for people that we follow him all through. The Lord is looking for people that we have hatred for sin. The Lord is looking for people that we burn for souls to come to the kingdom. You can read that scripture to the end. I would have loved to read it. Isaiah 55, read it on your own. The place of spiritual hunger, I wrote, is an atmosphere of God's glory. It is an atmosphere of God's presence. I wrote again, the place of spiritual hunger is a place of total reliance on God and God alone. The place of hunger is a place of revival, child of God. It's a place of revival. A place of hunger is a place where his refining fire brings out the best in you. The place of revival is a location called Mount Zion. I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills from when cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord, we make it the heavens and the earth. Upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness. And when we come to him, we have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the new Jerusalem. We have come to the company of an innumerable number of angels, the spirits of just men made perfect. We have come to the mediator, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. We have come to the God who is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, he that entered the holy of holies with his blood. Hey! Where did my hunger go?
What happened to my thirst? Though I still speak in tongues and minister before men, Lord, yet my secret place is weary and dry. If you still hear my cry, please heal me right.
It is a place for him to ignite you and cause you to do exploits in him. The Bible says, they that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. This message is for the strong-hearted. This message is for they that are hungry. This message is for a true child of God. This message is for one that truly desires to walk with him, to put your legs on the steps of the Lord as he walks. This message is for he that desires to see his footprint pasted on the sands of time. This message is for one that needs to awaken. Then you understand Psalm 15. Psalm 15 from verse 1. And see this. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? I told you the place of hunger is the presence of the Lord. A place of his holiness, a place of his glory. Who shall abide in the place of hunger? Because when you come to the Lord, you will be filled and you will get hungry again for more of him. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? It's a place where you don't get satisfied of more of him. This is the person that will dwell there. He that walketh uprightly. And when he's saying uprightly, he's not saying that you are godly. Uprightly, you come to an estate whereby your desire is unto him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and walketh righteousness, standing with him, walking with him, moving with him, stop when he stop, walk when he walk, trust and obey, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that does not operate hypocritically, he that backbiteth not, pastor just thought of on love, he that will abide in the place of hunger. the whole of verse 3 is speaking of he that we operate in love. That is simple as that. He that backbited not with his tongue. No, if you love, you will not backbite. No, do it if it to his neighbor, you will not backbite. No, take it up reproach against his neighbor. If you operate in love, you will not do all that. It is he that operates in love that can operate in the place of hunger. In whose eyes a vile person is contempt. He that comes to an estate whereby you hate sin is he that will operate in the atmosphere of hunger. But he honored them that fear the Lord. You that the only people that you acknowledge are those ones. You know that this one's way is not pleasing unto the Lord though. But because of the little gossip or the small change when they give you, you despise those that you know are truly living for the Lord. Do you truly have the spirit of he that rose Christ from the dead? Let's continue. In whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honored them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. That is, you can go all out when you decide you have decided. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh rewards against the innocent. He that does not, that does these things shall never be moved. The only way you cannot be moved is that you have come to an estate whereby you have made Jesus your pillar. You are the pillar that holds my life. And you can only get to that estate when he fills you with more of him, because you are hungry. They that cannot be moved are they that operate in the realm where they will be hungry to be filled with more of him. Because when you are filled, you get a supernatural strength that will cause you to hunger for more. Where did your hunger go? Where? The Lord is talking to you. The Lord is talking to you, child of God. The Lord is talking to someone. If only you can be willing to open up your soul and open up your spirit. To open up your soul and open up your spirit. The Lord will fill you. It is thus saith the Lord. It is thus saith his word. Open your mouth. He will fill you. If only you can tell him to take you back to that place of hunger. If only you can tell him you desire to be ignited. Listen, child of God. Do you remember John Hyde? Either in 18 something. There is this famous statement that give me souls or I die. Eh? A hungry man in the spirit is he that we say, give me souls or I die. Every child of God, you are called, you are given the ministry of reconciliation. If you are an evangelist, that gift of evangelism is given unto you that you will say, give me soul or I die. When you get to that extent like John Hyde. If you are a prophet, the gift is given unto you for souls to come to the Lord. With that gift, until you get to the estate of hunger for souls, that you say, Lord, give me souls or I die. The reason for that gift is not for entertainment, is to win lives unto the Creator. If you are a pastor, until you get to that estate whereby you can say, give me souls or I die. There is too much at the disposal of the Creator. He's looking for hungry souls to fill. Whatever it is, that gift, that healing gift given unto you is not to make you look like a Superman as if you are too anointed. No. Until that gift operates in the realm of hunger, until you can say, give me souls or I die. How many of us remember John Knox also? John Knox said, give me Scotland or I die. That was John Knox's statement. The Catholic Mary, the Queen of Scots, made a statement. The Queen of Scots said, ah, I feel an unction all over me. Yeah. Where did my hunger go?
What happened to my chest? Though I still speak in tongues and minister before men.
Hey!
Lord, yet my sacred place is weary and dry.
If you still hear my cry,
please heal me right now.
The Queen of Scots, Mary, he said, I fear the prayer of John Knox more than the whole army of Europe. That is what the Queen of Scots, go and Google it. Go and Google it. You will see it. That's what the Queen of Scots said. She said, I fear the prayer of John Knox. John Knox said, he was not doing it for entertainment. John Knox said, give me Scotland or I die. And souls were won by the gifts of the Spirit that were ignited from a hungry soul. Where is that hungry soul that God would love to fill? Listen to me, child of God. See, ministers of God, we are the ones that God is looking for. There is a greater demand on us. But can I also tell us something? You are not, every child of God listening to the sound of my voice, you are also a minister of God, because we are all priests and kings in Him. We are all given the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, the Lord has given us a responsibility. See, if you are operating in an atmosphere where there is no hunger, some people's hunger have died, dead and buried. Some people's zeal have died, dead and buried. But listen to me, that grave is shaken because it cannot hold you anymore. That place of death has been erased. The Lord is ready to awaken somebody from slumber. I am break forth that nonsense that has held your being bound not to break through in Him in the realm of hunger. Can I tell you something? Men of God, when you are operating and operating all the power and show without a genuine hunger, because the foundation of God standeth sure, having this say, God knoweth those that are His. So God knows that are operating in hunger. God knows that are doing it for souls to be saved. Though, if you are not operating in that realm, everything we are doing is photo. Child of God, if you are not operating in that realm, everything you are doing is photo. Can I give you an example? Men might see you and applaud you, but God sees you differently. Child of God, men might see you and clap for you and say, oh, what a powerful brother, what a powerful sister, what an anointed brother, what a humble brother, what a giver. Ah, he gives a lot. He's a giver. Some people are giving for showmanship, not because they are giving unto the Lord, not because there is a hunger. They are giving so that they will see them. He knows. But can I tell you something? Men can see you like that, but God does not see you. Can I tell you how it is seen? Please, camera, focus on me. How many of us look at my outfit? Can you see it? Is it not looking fine? And my beloved elder at the back, he told me something when I went to greet him in the morning. Elder Obuna, he said, ah, man of God, you are looking like a British man, oh. Sir, let me confirm. The executive of the main fellowship, Brother Obuna, sorry, excuse me, sir. I want you to understand how it is when you are operating. When you give, so you understand. Remember, I said the place of hunger is a place of love. You will understand what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was saying. Show me 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Please let Brother Obuna, bro, sir, please come. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Why our beloved Edda is coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. Listen, I want you to understand this now. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and known and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods, people where they give to the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, sacrifice, zeal, and have no charity, it profited me nothing. Do you understand? Now listen, sir, camera, you know, we were just joking at the back.
Yes, sir.
You were saying, if I say this one are British,
all right,
and I was saying, now packaging,
yes,
we must package ourselves,
yes,
now packaging, no, now packaging, no, it is packaging. But little did you know something, and little did everybody that has been watching me, you didn't see something. You've all been looking at me, but there is something you didn't see. You have been looking at me as a human being. Sir, you applauded me as a human being.
Yes, sir.
The same way 1 Corinthians chapter 13 explained. When you do all your pasmaga before men and there is no genuine hunger. Because every God is not a joker. Hear me now. Child of God, hear me. It is burning in my soul and my being and my spirit. It is burning. It's bursting. It is bursting, child of God. Hear me now. Oh, where did my hunger go? What happened to
I? Oh, I still speak in tongues and minister before men. Lord, yes, my secret place is in the end.
Matoli okoka sabu malu prikato meseta ya bashuda yi yemona bosente kabasa ya tashi yebratu matisi namasu. He is the Almighty, none like him upon the surface of the earth. God and God alone. Yalu minere sobakula ma ashipala tabuka dose efabraya. Yes, Lord, none like you. None.
Lord, yes, my secret place is weary and dry. If you still hear my cry, please heal me right now.
Listen, everyone, when you operate in a place, God is calling on you. He wants to fill you. He needs your soul to feel it. There is too much work to be done, both in the church and outside. He needs your service. If you are doing anything without hunger, you know the way you've all been seeing me. See, you are seeing me as a human being now. But God can see what you cannot see. And that is the same way God sees those that are operating. But yet there is no true genuine hunger for souls. Because we are all given the ministry of reconciliation. How can you operate with a holy God that needs to bring holy people and raise a holy nature, and you are living a life that is not without holiness, filthiness, dirtiness, iniquity, fornication, stealing, lying, and you say you have hunger? Now photo, God is seeing the inside. But can I now show you what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was saying? Sir, I want to shock you the way God sees me. Was seen my dressing that was so beautiful. But did you in any way discover that my dressing could be like this? This is how God sees those that operate in that lifestyle. Inside of you is rotting in a realm without hunger. It is rotting. When men see you, God sees you differently. Will you repent and turn to Jesus, or will you remain in a place without hunger? Why are you going to continue? The Bible says God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that is what he will reap. God is not mocked. Even my wife is surprised seeing me like this. You think my wife knew I was dressed like this? My wife is just seeing me like this. Because not even your wife can see. You can camouflage to the closest person to you, but God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, he will reap. Where did my hunger go? What happened
to my thirst? Though I still speak in tongues,
oh Jesus,
stand before me, Lord, yet my secret place is real and dry. If you still hear my cry, please heal me right now.
If only you will open up your heart for the Lord to fill you. When you open up your mouth, why? The Spirit of the Lord will begin to take off that nonsense. Because He alone sees the inside. He is not man. He will remove it. He will cleanse you. If only you can do it. And allow Him to take charge. Allow Him to take charge. Sir, you are seeing that beautiful cloth. It is not over. Allow Him to take charge. And when He does, He is not man, He will do a good job. And He will make you white again. He will make you clean again. He will make you clean again. I am waiting for somebody that is ready to repent. You want the Lord to fill you. You want Him. You say, Lord, I am sorry. Take me to the place of hunger. I am waiting for you at the altar. Run to the altar and let the Lord fill you. Where?
Yes. Spirit, you take over. Holy fire, fall upon my altar.
I'm waiting for you at the altar. You know that that fire has died.
What happened to
that fire, that hunger, and you want Him? He is ready. He wants to fill you, child of God. You are making younger for God. You have a gift. They are begging you to use your gift. Use your gift now for where you dey do younger. You dey new younger for God. He's waiting for you at the altar. He wants to fill you. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Tell Him, Lord, my heart is open. I want to go deeper. I want to operate in the realm of hunger. I want to operate in the realm of hunger. Talk to Jesus. He will fill you. There is going to be an infilling. There is going to be an infilling, my
Master.
Talk to Jesus.
Waiting for him.
Talk to Him. Pour out your soul to Him. Pour out your heart to Him. Pour out your heart to Him. And you that cannot come out, He is also there with you. He knows. For whatever reason, open your heart. Tell Him, Lord, fill me. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me. Fill me. Fill me. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me. Create a hunger in my being. Create a hunger in my soul. Create a hunger inside of me that will be unquenchable. That will be unquenchable. Hey, Jesus.
So that I can feel this nation. Feel me now.
If you talk to him, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him. Talk to him, child of God. Talk to him. Somebody time because fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the taste of my soul. Bread of heaven. Feel me till I want no more. Feel my cup. Feel it up and make me whole. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
God, you asked us the question this afternoon that where is our hunger? And several of us have come before you kneeling at the altar as a sign that we want that hunger revived in us. Father, they are not kneeling before man but before you. Lord, let that fire, as in days of Pentecost, the fire of revival, Let it fall upon us all now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, by the time we'll be standing up from the altar to go back to our seats, let that hunger be revived and restored in us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we've prayed. God bless you. God bless you. That hunger is restored in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we put our hands together for the living God? Our hands together to the Lord. God has blessed us immensely. God has